Thank you for joining us today. What you're about to listen to is an audio sermon. The title of this sermon is Freedom. It was preached on July 30th, 2017 at First Presbyterian Church of Baldwin, and it is an original writing by Reverend Adam Fisher. I'm really glad to have you with us today. If you'd like to join us in person, you're welcome to join us for worship any Sunday. We gather to meet at 717 St. Luke's Place in Baldwin, New York. And our worship time for the month of July and August starts at 9:30 a.m. After that, for September and the rest of the year, we worship at 10 a.m. We'd love to have you with us, or to have you email us with any thoughts or comments, any prayer requests, or anything that you would like to share with us. We'd be glad to have. Thanks again for joining us today. There's a classic Sunday school song that goes something like this. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. Deep and wide, there's a fountain flowing deep and wide. I remember learning that song as a kid and singing that often. My favorite part about that song is as it's sung, you can drop the words and just do the hand motions and go faster and faster. I'm sure that that song speaks about a fountain of God's love and about a word that is living and never ends. However, for today's purposes, I rewrote the lyrics to that slightly. So now instead of saying deep and wide, we're going to say deep, not trite. God's abundant love is deep, not trite. And so the song now would sound something like this. Deep, not trite, God's abundant love is deep, not trite. Deep, not trite, God's abundant love is deep, not trite. That song, hopefully, will be a good reminder of the core message of the sermon today. If nothing else, I hope that you take away that God's love is deep. It is always deep, and it is never trite. I hope that you will leave this place after having heard this message, knowing that God's love is deeper and vaster and wider and bigger than anything that we have ever known or imagined, that God's love is for all people, that it reaches out to all, is extended to all, and that invitation and extension are never ceased by anything that we can do. You'll hear that pretty clearly in the passage from Romans, especially in the part where Paul writes that nothing can separate us from the love of God. So, no matter what, just remember, God's love is deep, not trite, God's abundant love is deep, not trite. Deep, not trite, God's abundant love is deep, not trite. Before we jump into the scriptures, let's pray. God, you are our light. Illumine this text so that you might speak to us. Speak as you've spoken to our ancestors throughout the ages. Give us hope and peace. Challenge us with your word. Lead us forward that we might be Christ's hands and feet to the world in ways that are surprising, fresh, new, and full of your abundant love, now and forever, we pray. Amen. Our first scripture reading today comes from Psalm 128. It is a pilgrimage song. Everyone who honors the Lord, who walks in God's ways, is truly happy. You will definitely enjoy what you've worked hard for. You'll be happy, and things will go well for you. In your house, your wife will be like a vine full of fruit. All around your table, your children will be like olive trees, freshly planted. That's how it goes for anyone who honors the Lord. They will be blessed. May the Lord bless you from Zion, and may you experience Jerusalem's goodness your whole life long. And may you see your grandchildren. Peace be on Israel. My friends, this is the word of the Lord. Our second scripture reading comes from Romans chapter 8, 26 through 39. In the same way, the Spirit comes to help in our weakness. We don't know what we should pray, but the Spirit himself pleads our case with unexpressed groans. The one who searches hearts knows the Spirit, how the Spirit thinks, because he pleads for the saints, consistent with God's will. We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose. We know this because God knew them in advance, and he decided in advance that they would be conformed to the image of his Son. That way, his Son would be the first of many brothers and sisters. Those who God decided in advance would be conformed to his Son. He also called. Those whom he called, he also made righteous. Those whom he made righteous, he also glorified. So what are we going to say about these things? If God is for us, who is against us? He didn't spare his own Son, but gave him up for us all. Won't he also then freely give us all the things with him? Who will bring a charge against God's elect people? It is God who acquits them. Who is going to convict them? It is Christ Jesus who died, even more, who was raised, and who also is at God's right side. It is Christ Jesus who also pleads our case for us. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble, or distress, or harassment, or famine, or nakedness, or danger, or sword? As it is written, we are being put to the death all day long for your sake. We are treated like sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord, not death or life, nor angels or rulers, nor present things or future things, not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created. This is the word of the Lord. As children of God, we need to be deep, not trite. The world has no shortage of those Jesus loves me mugs, and it has enough pillowcases that have been cross-stitched with words that say things like, when God closes a door, he goes ahead and opens a window. And there's also far too many of those Jesus is my homeboy t-shirts. What the world needs, instead of all this kitschy stuff, is deep love. People don't need to feel hollow anymore. They don't need to feel separated from the love of God by things that they've done or that they haven't done, by something that has to do anything with the amount of work or lack of work that they've done. People ought to feel embraced. Instead, they should feel like they are wrapped in God's arms with love that always forgives, love that endlessly welcomes, love that is deeper than any one of us could fathom or even all of us could fathom together. The role of the church isn't to build higher walls that keep people away from God. Instead, the role of the church is to build longer tables so that people realize there's nothing that they have done, nothing that they will do, nothing that can be done by anyone or any church or anything that will separate them from the love of God. If what we hear in Romans is correct and we believe that, then we proclaim that if Christ died for us, then Christ must be for us. And if Christ is for us, who would dare turn a sister away from the table? And who would dare say to a brother, there's simply no more room for you? Surely if Christ is for us, nobody can be against us. I remember one day when I was a little kid, we went to church as we typically did on Sunday. And my mom was driving that day, and as was often the case, my brother and I were late, and our family was late getting to church. Whenever we were late, which was probably the majority of Sundays, we would go and sit in the balcony so as not to disturb the worship that was already going on. We hiked up the stairs and got to the balcony. My brother and I would sit on the front edge of it. And I would peer over the railing, and mostly what I would do is I would count the number of bald men below while the preacher went on and on. Now, this particular Sunday, the preacher was talking about the Day of Judgment. As I remember, he said something like this: after you die, you'll be in a place like a huge theater, and everyone from heaven will be there. What will be happening is you will be on trial. Every error you've ever made will be shown on a huge screen for all to see. And at the end, God will decide whether or not you led a good enough life. that's what the final judgment's going to look like. Confused and maybe a little concerned, I turned and I looked over at my brother, and I said, well, so far I've counted 16 baldies today. How about you? Travis turned and looked at me, and he said, shut up. You think I care how many bald people you found? You think I want to be in this movie? You think that I want that to be in our movie that everybody watches at the end of time? I smiled and I said, ugh, whatever. We've done way worse stuff than counting baldies at church. I don't really care what this preacher has to say anyways. Travis shook his head and he said, oh man, you are totally going to hell. The message that I received from church that day was that God's grace was conditional. That is, it was dependent on what I did in this life. From our perspective as Reformed Christians, from our perspective as Presbyterians who are part of this Reformed heritage, this statement that what we do and God's grace are intertwined is nothing but heresy and nonsense. It's not part of the Reformed faith. In the Reformed faith, we believe that we are saved by grace through our faith. Remember, as Paul has proclaimed, there's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. Certainly not counting the number of bald people in church as a kid from the balcony when you should have been listening to a sermon. So here's the deal. If you need a church that's going to feed you on the food of hatred, food that places you at the head of a table where you can judge other people, then my friends, you're not going to be satisfied with the food that's served at Christ's table in heaven. No, I think you're going to be more satisfied feasting on corrupted gospels that are served at far too many other churches. Places that are willing to serve up a debaucherous form of the Eucharist. Such a feast isn't scriptural. It never will be, and it won't be served here. It's trite. In such a place, you'll feast on steaks of idolatry which are seasoned with the hedonic paradox, something that tastes good and satisfies at first, but it won't last, and you'll soon be hungry again. If, however, you are in the mood for something hearty, like a cup that runneth over or a feast prepared in the midst of your enemies who are also invited, a feast like the one described in the 23rd Psalm or in many other places, it's like it is in Scripture, and you are ready to eat bread that is so filling that you can share it with others and not go hungry, then come to this table. Come, sit down, my brother, and pull up a plate. Sister, there is plenty of food for us all to feast upon. For here we feast on the deep love of God, here in this place, where Christ is for us, and no one is against us. As we feast, we will come to realize that nothing truly can separate us from the love of God. Nothing. It's too deep. It's too wide. It's too vast. And certainly, it's too delicious. It's a shame that that's not the message of every church. Instead of sharing the depth of grace, people have forged the text into something like a police procedural, where there are two sides, and church becomes something like an episode of Law and Order, which always begin in the same way. In the criminal justice system, the people are represented by two separate yet equally important groups. The police, who investigate crime, and the district attorneys who prosecute the offenders. These are their stories. After that little introduction, you are treated to a wonderful procedural. A show where everything falls in place and you probably learn a little bit about the law. It's wonderful. There are winners, losers, good guys, bad guys, and hundreds of episodes in which to delight in. It makes for some pretty good TV, but it doesn't really make for good scripture, nor was it ever intended to. See, if reformers had written like police procedurals, they'd probably be less interesting, and they'd probably start something like this. In the biblical justice system, the people are represented by two separate and pretty unbalanced powers. The law, which condemns based on sins people have made while on their earthly journey, and grace, which Christ freely pours out. These are their stories. Spoiler alert, if you're unfortunate enough to watch these Reformed Law and Order episodes, which don't actually exist, but if they did, the spoiler would be that grace always wins. because Reformed theology makes for terrible procedurals, but it's a great example of what deep love looks like. Have you ever had something terrible happen to you? Perhaps the death of a loved one, or the loss of a job, or maybe you've been wrongfully accused of a crime. Whatever that might have been, oftentimes when terrible things happen, a well-meaning person will come up and say to you, "Don't worry, it's all part of God's plan. It'll come out good. Just hang in there." Have you ever been given such a trite condolence? I think the well-meaning person who gives such a condolence is trying to do something scriptural. I think they're trying to quote Romans 8:28 that says, "We know that God works all things together for good for the ones who love God, for those who are called according to his purpose." But please, please don't ever quote that scripture to someone out of its own context. Because when you do, at best you're going to be trite. And more often than not, you're going to be causing pain in a situation that's painful enough already. Instead of being trite and doing that, share this passage in context. Share it with the depth of what Paul is trying to present. Paul here is trying to give hope in the midst of the greatest trouble by speaking about the finality of grace. If you're going to quote any part of this section of Romans, go to Romans 8:35 and 39. That section of Romans is going to give a little bit of a deeper perspective and probably offer more comfort. Listen to it one more time. Who will separate us from Christ's love? Will we be separated by trouble or distress or harassment or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, "We are being put to death all day long for your sake. We are being treated like sheep for the slaughter. But in all these things, we win a sweeping victory through the one who loved us. I'm convinced that nothing can separate us from God's love in Christ Jesus our Lord. Not death or life. Not angels or rulers. Not present things or future things. Not powers or height or depth or any other thing that is created." The tone of what you share will change dramatically when you give somebody that piece of scripture in its broader context. Instead of dismissing the suffering and the reality that the other person is trudging through by saying, "Don't worry about it, God's got a plan," you respond with compassion by saying, "Ugh, that sucks. I'm sorry. I love you, and you're loved by God. Nothing that happens to you, nothing that you do, nothing that can be done will ever change that. You're deeply loved. I know it's terrible right now. And I will hope that you know that you're still loved." The gift of grace is a treasure to be rediscovered in every moment. It's our task to continually delight in this gift, to share it with everybody in every moment, to open the invitation and recognize that in Christ we have a sweeping victory. It's already been won on our behalf and on behalf of humanity. It's been won by Christ who loves and chooses us. Leave the banal words of comfort to other people. Words of comfort in the midst of fierce judgment are always going to be trite. But words of freedom, words of love in the midst of the law is what is going to show the full depth of God's abundant love. That day when I was a child, in that balcony, in that church, I wish that I would have heard the preacher tell me that I was loved inseparably by God. I think that's the message I needed then, and it's the message that I think we need for pretty much every moment of every day. I wish the preacher would have done something more meaningful or said something more like this. Right now in the world, there are 7.5 billion people. That's 7.5 billion people who are alive and who are loved and cared for by God. It may not always be obvious that God loves people because sometimes there's tremendous suffering. There are wars and there's violence and there are disasters and there are lots of things that don't look like love. But God's in it all. And you're one of those people. I'm sure it sounds like it's a lot to manage. But keep in mind, by some of the best estimates of the world's population, there have been somewhere around 107 billion people who've ever lived. Now that there's only 7.5 billion currently living, God's really had a lot of practice on loving humans. Out of all the people who have ever lived, out of all the people who are still living now, there's nothing that you're going to do that will be able to separate you from the love of God. There's nothing that you're going to do that's going to be more scandalous than stuff that's probably already happened. You're not going to be able to sin so grievously that God will deny you. It's not possible because of what Christ has already done. Christ died for you and for me and for everyone else. We've been chosen by God. We've been saved by grace. Please hear me when I tell you this. Take a moment and stop doing what you're doing. Stop counting the bald people from the balcony as if you could sit in a place above others and look down on them. Stop worrying about what will come in the next moment or where you will find your next meal. Just pause for a second in order that you might hear this one word. You are loved. God loves you. There's nothing that's ever going to change that. Nothing. You're loved. And so, by being loved, you are free. Stop counting and worrying about all those other things and get back to the business that is at the heart of everything, the business of love. And let the love you share be deep, not trite. Deep love is much more satisfying. Thank you for joining us today and for listening to this audio sermon. If you have any questions, you're welcome to go to our website and check out what we have there. You can find service times or ways to contact us and ways to get involved with our church. We're really glad to have you with us today, and we'd appreciate it if you feel free to share this with anybody you like. It's always good to have more people walking with us on this journey. We'd love to hear from you, love to hear your thoughts. We'll pray for you if you have any prayer requests that you'd like to share. And please know that you are loved and that we walk this journey together until the day when we are reunited back in heaven. Have a great day and a week full of blessings. You're loved.